What's the big idea?
Good. Okay. Episode number city.
Oh wow, he went for
60. 60. No, 60. 60. Yeah.
No idea. 60?
How do you say it in French? 40. No, that's Spanish. 40. No, that's 60. 60. 60? Yeah. Yeah. 61, 62.
Yeah. Sure.
I speak many languages. I'm an international man of mystery. Anyway, today's episode, Eric is still texting on his phone.
Yes.
Today's episode is called Playing the Crazy Recruitment Game. So it's changed a lot over the last little while. It's become, I think, pervasive in the volleyball world, in the club volleyball world. We're like, if you don't play the game, and I call it a game because it is definitely something like you have to do.
You have to?
Yeah, that's sort of what we're getting at today. It's kind of good that you don't have this perspective. It's like, if you don't play this game of like sending your videos and schmoozing the coaches at the post-secondary level, then you'll probably be out of luck because the rosters fill up.
You have to play the game if your intent is to play post-secondary.
If your intent is to go post-secondary,
yeah.
You kind of, like the whole idea of like, so I sort of had the theory in my life of like, if you're good, they'll find you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Or you'll stand out and you'll get, but I don't think that's true anymore. I think that like you can show up to a post-secondary tryout and find out that there's no space or there are no tryouts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure nowadays it's all about that networking beforehand, yeah. And I'm sure the video stuff is a big part of it, mm-hmm. which sucks, man. That's so much more work, and
it's like, so for me, I just like, mm-hmm. I kind of hate the whole performance side. Like, so we did it like with my kids, like we put together a video for them. Just thinking,
did
like,
you? Eh?
Well, we did very late. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't do it. Like again, the whole time we
so
were
it was
just
black
like,
and white and just not it was that black. Good.
It was grainy. It's like the Zapruder film.
You didn't get any like video highlights of like flames when yeah. they like, spiked the yeah, ball exactly. and like yeah
video
yeah
games
you're stuff, screwed
yeah.
then. You're
yeah,
just, it's not
well,
good.
Actually, what we did was we would have the wide shot. And then we would zoom in for a like totally fake shot of my kid just creaming the ball, but it was clearly in a different backdrop.
In your backyard.
Yeah, it was clearly like outside.
Yeah.
Like you tell it wasn't. Badminton the continuity. Net. The continuity.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Shirt would be on backwards. Or wrong jersey. Totally different. Yeah, the continuity was not good. Sometimes you could see me in the background holding the ball underneath the shot.
You know, I just had a flashback to is that one video of that one girl giving her, she's talking like some kind of recruitment video.
Oh,
she has her
the
whole
one
family.
That I, the one that I, we shared yeah. that on volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Like, she's like, is like a high school girl trying to get her post-secondary. She's saying how she's so, yeah. Dedicated, she gets up every day at yeah. 5 a.m. and goes for a run, and her mom just starts dying laughing.
Yeah, oh, that's fuck. If you haven't seen that, you can check that out on our Facebook that's or our so Instagram. Funny. There's a recruitment video thing where the kids,
it's mostly the mom, right? The mom just
dying. Can't stop yeah. laughing at the kid lying to the camera about what she does. Yeah. And somehow this video got out unedited, and yeah, so
everyone else kept a straight face, though.
Yeah, I think the girl and the dad. Yeah, I think, but the mom was just losing it because the kid was talking about how great she is at cleaning her room,
yeah,
and
yeah.
dedicated, and up in the morning running. And I forget what it was. Probably like an application for school. I don't think it was a sports one, but we shared
it
with that.
School,
we shared it with like what recruitment videos must be like. no, but that's part. That's sort of what it is now, and like. I think there's two problems with it. Is that I think that it can, one, the parent and the family, it depends on how tech savvy they are, like,
yeah.
and how, into that world they are. And then the other side of it, then there's the industry side of it that's driving it, right? Like the financial, I can get wealthy off of helping people with recruitment videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the third angle, I think, is that the coaches, that's most dangerous, is they're relying on it more and more because it's easier, and there's that whole thing yeah. about easy,
so it ends up building dependency and building this whole other economy based around it that isn't really needed at all.
Yeah,
that sounds like so many economies actually.
Well, it's like it's the I think the underlying premise or theme is that it's convenient for everybody in theory, like the coach especially, right?
Yeah, because they don't have to go physically. Around,
yes, and assess. And like, even like, you know, it's some, like, you could make arguments like there are some players still in the world who would want to stay and play in an area and not go to the top team. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can, mm-hmm. it's almost like it rewards the people who are, you know, compromising everything to go play for that team, that club, that city to get on the top tier versus yeah. the kid that's, you know, sitting in a tier two or three who just wants to play volleyball and loves their team or is friends with them. Like, you know, that's sort of what happened to our kid. Like, our kid chose to play with her friends in the last year on a non-tier one team and stood out, but that meant that she wasn't present at those other events.
Yeah.
So then, like, even when she went to try for university, she got put on the court with all the team. No one told you this, right? Yeah, the team was full, basically. Yeah. So she had no spot. Like, there was no libero's spots left, but the coach put her on the court with just her and all the team that was already selected.
Yeah.
Like, they only had room for, like, an outside hitter, maybe.
Well, then, in that case, her getting, you know, your daughter getting a video together, it doesn't really matter anyways because the team was already formed.
Yeah.
Or they're already, I'm guessing, all vet player or like returning
players? No, that's what I'm saying. They were already scouted. Yes, they already scouted new people too, mixed in. So most of them were returning. Yeah. Very few spots for sure. But they went, you know, people who are on it, like,
well, what I mean, it's like, not just the coach's fault, but the coach is now getting inundated with all these other videos that they never used to get.
Yes.
Probably, right? They yeah. would go out and request them, but now they're getting sent to them. So
yeah, see, if I were post-secondary coaching today, I would, and I got paid well, that's the other thing too. So if it depends on the program you're in, school in, but a lot of these schools are and, you know, like I said, that coach emailed my daughter and said, come back, you know, my daughter emailed after the tries and he said, I want you, you know, you should try it next year.
Do you think if she sent it earlier, she may have had a chance?
It's possible. But we also had the club experience where we had to.
You don't even want footage of that.
She had to leave, though, yeah, the club team last year because the coach was a maniacal, yeah. you know, and, you know, whatever.
Yes, yeah, all the words.
Yeah, just crazy, right? Yeah. So she ended up having to quit because they were, like, forbitting her from hitting so much, forbidding her from jumping on a power play, not even warranted stats-wise, and so it was very crazy, power trippy loser coach. But, I mean, the cool thing is the coach, you know, did address her email and said, listen, you should come out next year. The coach she tried out for, who is a real, well-respected, real player who knows his stuff. He did put her on nobody else was on that court. It was all the players on the team and my daughter. And she did well.
Because
he could tell she could play, right? She could play with them, yeah. And then he did tell her to come out. Assistant coach high-fived after a couple of good plays and stuff and said, like, so it's cool. Like, I think it's safe to say that if he saw her earlier, there might have been a chance she was on the team.
Yeah.
This isn't really about, like, again, so we did the recruitment tape, but we did it later. And we also knew that we were going to have some tough questions if he asked to come see a part of us. We were afraid to send out videos because we're like, what if they want to see you play? You know what I mean? And now you have to explain to them that you've quit the team. So there was that whole weird thing too. So we were kind of hiding. But the whole thing was
the better out.
But the reason, so this goes back to like, provincial and regional team stuff too, where like even for that stuff now you have to play this game of sending in videos and stuff, and you know, and so it's not a real, it's like, and we didn't do that stuff, like, you know, we were always like, you know what, I'm not into this. We started making a video once for her, I remember, and both of us were like, this is stupid, like,
it just sucks.
Yeah,
it really sucks to hear.
Yeah, it's just not the same as it used to be, you know.
Yeah.
Or they let coaches write in, you know, their recommendations based on their favorites. And
yeah, like some people are just more just interested in this tech stuff, in like the Instagram and TikTok and Snap, and like some people are good at it, hence the why there's so much content out there. I guess a lot of people are interested in it, or some people are interested in it because they have financial interest in being interested in it, right? So if you're going to make money off it, then obviously you will figure out how to be more creative with online content creation. But for the average person, like,
I know,
like, I mean, I'm just not a big posting person myself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I will need to be when I get into other business, for sure, and then I'll have to like learn it, but just for like the average day-to-day, like, I'm not too into like taking pictures of stuff, and then, and that kind of sucks because like imagining myself having kids, like, the way I am now is the way I would be if I had kids, and I don't want to be sitting there recording nonstop, like, and then having to go home and compile a thing and then like send it out, and then
I know. We just started. It was kind of cool because what we did was we would set up the iPod on a tripod and just record the whole match.
That's good.
And then we just posted to YouTube for my kid and her teammates. And then my daughter would make screen records. I'd let her do that, right? Because I'm not going to.
She would find clips.
She'd find clips that she liked and make a screen record.
Well, that's good.
But then I did help her put them together, and it was a big pain in the ass. And it's like, and you're just like, and this is why people hire companies, and you're just like, why am I playing this stupid game? Like, you know, shouldn't we just like, this goes back to our discussions of tryouts too, right? Like, you just wish, man, that like, you know, imagine, I have trouble believing that if a school posted open tryouts in the first, you know, right before school, you had your team, whatever. I can't believe that major universities and colleges won't have, you know, a ton of great players in their school that aren't, you know, they're not playing now.
Mm.
But if you brought them out and made it an open competitive situation, you know how many volleyball players would go to your school? Like, it's so weird that kids are making their entire post-secondary decisions based on, oh, but that team's full though. Or, oh, that team's really good though, so I won't go there. I'll go to the one that sucks. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's further limited because right now the coaches are just dealing with the players that contact them. You know, and I know it's a busy world, but man, I think you just have to go out and dig.
Well,
you know, diamonds in the rough. Like, is that not like, that's an expression for a reason.
Yeah.
Diamonds in the rough is what the world is. Like, how many, like, well, look at us. Like, nobody heard about us before this podcast. And I think, you know, we're gold.
We're pretty sparkly.
We're diamonds. Anyway, sorry, you were going to say?
I was just thinking, like, so if they announced like these open tryouts, you know, players are picking that school for the volleyball, because obviously a bunch of, like, if you do get a bunch of players that are interested, like 60, you know, you're only taking 14 top. So now you got all those other players that got cut that are now bound to that school. Well, yeah. I mean, not
that's happening. That's happening now though.
Yeah.
They're still going to the schools for programs, but most of them just don't try out because they're like, well, it's full. Right.
Right. So
a lot of schools don't have open tryouts. Like this school.
So hopefully
the
school has the program they are interested in, and then on top of that they have the open tryouts.
Yes. Like, see, we knew that this school is one of the top schools in our region, like in our state province thing, right? And so we knew that and this guy was a former player, like beach player, high level. I mean indoor too, but beach success. And so I knew, like I said to my kid, I was like, really good chance that he's gonna have open tryouts, because anybody who knows volleyball is gonna have some tryout, and he did, and then they advertise it, and a lot of schools don't.
A lot of schools just don't have them,
or they're not really players. They don't understand how there could be someone out there. I think this is what sort of I was coming at as, like, as a player. I'm like, good coaches, good programs will always want to take a look. Always,
or
right?
Always reserve like one or two spots. Like,
yeah, it's hard per position. Like this guy did.
At least the red shirt thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
I know. Like, well, they already recruited all the red shirts too for this one position.
So they did have red shirts already, right?
Yeah, four liberos.
Because that's
already.
How many of those were red shirts?
Two red shirts, and then two like on the bench.
Yeah, yeah.
Game, right.
That's kind of crazy. Four liberos. Holy.
Yeah.
Well, that's because of the whole
turnover and graduation.
Well, and the changes to the defense.
I think that's why he said that. Special. Yeah. I think that's why he also got told my daughter to come out next year, because a couple of them are seniors.
Yeah.
So they're going to need some other people, and they probably liked the way she could do stuff. So
she's going to have to keep popping her head in.
That's
throughout the year.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. Like, the cool thing was he answered her email. That's another thing, by the way. Like, if you're ever in a situation where you get cut and you really, really, really want it, and you're definitely like up there, or you could tell you were on there, they liked you. That's the other thing. Don't be like, you know, if you're getting cut like really early or never making it to the main court, maybe don't do this.
Yeah.
But if you're close, then,
for sure,
email. Follow-up email is nice, just to say, like, hey, listen, if you need someone on the bench, because that's sort of what my daughter did, was, you know, you can say to them, listen, I really want to play volleyball, I want to be around volleyball. If you need someone in practice to serve at the team, or because she's a spin server, or if you want anybody ever to come in and scrimmage, you need some numbers, let me know. And then that's when he emailed back and said, like, thanks for the email. We did have, sadly, four liberos, but if he did say if anything opens up in the year, he'll let her know too. So if somebody quits, you know, injuries, illness, academic, probation, whatever, And it's just a nice little way, right, for that coach to hear your name one more time.
Yeah.
Like, so come tryouts next year, he'll be like, oh, there's that girl that emailed me or whatever, you know?
Yeah, but she's going to have to see him before that tryout, right? Because of what we know of, like, the inundation of all these videos, like, holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. I told her to, like, find out where he lives.
Yeah.
Go through his garbage, that sort of thing.
Egg his house,
or just like randomly, like, you know, hey, what are you doing here? Like, as he walks out his door, you know?
Yeah.
It's really weird that you're here too.
Hey, do you want a pepper?
Yeah, just find out it's personal information about him. Anyway,
get it from Google.
I taught her about Pegasus better. Software.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone? Google that if you don't know what that is. We don't want to get political. Did you say anyways with an S?
Yeah.
It's anyway.
Oh, I've singular. Wondered that.
That's like one of those good lines between, like,
you know, anyway.
Like, yeah, intelligent people will say anyway, and unintelligent people will say anyways. So just so you know.
Oh, thanks.
You don't know. I'm just saying which side you want, like, not right now. Because anyway. It's any one way, any one way, right? Any way you take. You don't take any ways. Take any way.
Yeah, but I'm a multi-dimensional person here. Yeah.
No, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in my world today that say anyways, and it sort of just irks me.
Oh, okay.
Because I had a guy I worked with who was an English teacher, and we used to joke around about that all the time. We would just say to each other, anyways, whenever somebody was talking. Anyway. Either way. Either ways.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry, I cut you off, I think. Did I?
I don't think you did.
No, I don't think I did either. Because you were segueing away from Pegasus software.
Yes, right, yeah.
I think Pegasus, it's safe to say, is now on our phone because we just referenced it on YouTube.
Yeah, for sure. And it's safe, totally safe.
You're not allowed to talk about it on YouTube, I don't think, Pegasus
probably software. Not.
Pegasus the horse, sure. Mythological horse.
Yeah, that's no what we're problem. Talking about.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. Yes. Anyway.
He's on my horse. He's on my, I was on my phone.
Pegasus was not a unicorn. Okay, so anyway, just another bit of random information.
Just check out our other podcast if you're interested.
While you're waiting for us to come back.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're back. if you're a coach and you're relying on video. Stop it.
Stop it. But that's the thing. They can't, like, because this is happening now, it's just going to keep going because...
Yeah. I still think, I mean, I'm sure there's a coach listening to this show going, you know what? You guys would like me because I don't. Like, you know, you just make the time. You know where all the big tournaments are. Go there, right?
Right.
Check out some Dark Horse tournaments. Check out some Tier 2 tournaments, you know, lower tier tournaments, just to see what's there.
Sure,
I guess. You might be the only, like, think about it. You might be getting the steal of the century if you do hang out in those. You know, you hear about this all the time, right?
Yeah, this players. Is your, like, inter-American picker coming out, though. You just, like, you just want to go to the weird.
American pickers, that's good. That's good, that's exactly.
You want to go find the weirdest little thing.
Show up in a van, throw some players in the back and drive away. What? That sounds weird.
I can't deny
sell them online.
What? I can't deny
too far.
The reality of that because not all these players are making the videos. And yeah, I did hear your joke there. Anyways,
it was pretty bad.
Yeah,
you said
sell them.
Yeah, hey, I fixed you.
But yeah, there's got to be some players not making the videos or that don't really
homie don't play that.
Yeah, or
like,
don't even think they're going to post-secondary and playing.
Right. That's true.
Right? So
that's true.
You go up to them and you, like, have that conversation with them. They're going to be blown away.
Right. That's a
really
good
point. Maybe they're
going
to be super interested.
That's a really good point because I think in this day and age, there's probably a lot of people who don't think
for
that
sure.
they could make a team. I mean, and even when I was playing, I remember, like, how many friends of mine said, yeah, they weren't going to try for the team. I'm like, why not? And they're like, well, because I don't think I'll make it. And then so I showed up to my tryouts twice and I was like, there's nobody here. Like,
that's how you got on.
That's how I made it.
Nice.
That's how I made it.
I didn't. I had zero intention on being recruited. I didn't plan for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then just whatever.
At a tournament, someone came up to you?
Yeah. I think they knew. No, they knew the club we played at. So then he knew to go and check that club because in previous years, players had come out of there.
Yeah.
And then.
And it's a smaller club too, right?
Actually, I don't think it came
to the club. Did you stay the Wolves the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Merrick found me on the beach, actually.
See, that's good too, right? Yeah, how many college and university coaches are going out to the beach?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because that tells you everything about a player's skill, you know, how well-rounded they are.
Yeah. Maybe they're not even that interested in indoor, but maybe you can spark some interest. Especially, well, there's more, like a lot in the U.S., there's many schools that offer both.
Yes, right? Yes.
So there's kind of...
These days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day, not so many.
It's even these then, day, isn't it?
It's these day.
sorry.
Any days.
Yeah, any day.
These day. That was actually the worst grammar display ever. These day. So, yeah, no, that's an interesting one. That if you, they saw you on the beach, that's cool. I was recruited also on the beach because I was taking a long, long, quiet, long romantic walk on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, so the, yeah, I think one of the things that's bugging me, though, is that because these emails are coming in, coaches have to ask themselves, what type of parent and player are the type to send these videos? Not that that's 100% guarantee, but if you think about some of the craziness, right? A big chunk of the crazy has to be the ones who are like voraciously putting together footage and voraciously racing to get their foot. Not that they're all, not no offense to people who are doing this, because you might be a normal parent who just knows they have to play the game. That's the title of this episode.
What do you not see on the tapes, though? You know what I mean? So in
that's the other thing, too. The tapes are always selected footage. That, yes, you see the whole rally. Like, they do have most recruitment videos.
This could
they
even be more rally. Work for the coach.
Yeah. Well,
no, I'm thinking about it.
I mean, it's definitely, there's definitely a price to be paid for convenience. You know, if you're, whenever you're just taking the convenient route, for sure. Like, I know of coaches.
What if you get, like, 100 videos, though?
I know.
Like in your email, are you going to look at all of them?
And not that. Like,
there's no way.
But isn't the assumption, like what is guaranteeing you that these 100 videos are the best that's out there?
No, no.
You know what I mean?
You have no guarantee with that. So that's, so yeah.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's a weird time right now, because you got to, if you're a coach at the post-secondary level,
you want to be in control, and you have more control by actually going to different tournaments.
Yeah, you got to be a little old school about it. Like, I'll be honest with you, as a parent, I was very old school with my kid. I was like, you know what? I don't like this whole world of, like, playing this game, decorating a video, sending them up, putting some cool music to it. And I'm like, but when it was getting down to it, we're like, well, I guess we better let them know that you, like, sending an email and saying, hey, do you want to check me out here? I play here. I don't know if that's going to work either.
Hmm.
Because they're just not, I mean, they do show up at a few tournaments early on. Like, you will see coaches hanging around.
Won't you, isn't a tournament a better spot? Because in one day you can see, well, I guess in one day you can check a whole bunch of videos. And
well, usually what they have, what they do at the tournaments usually is that, because they're getting so many emails, they show up with a list of players and teams that they were told where they're going to be
by
the family, or maybe they, you know, maybe, and that's where they go look. And it's like, I mean,
They're not looking elsewhere.
They're not looking elsewhere, really, right? It's hard to, like, or just want, maybe if a smart coach leaves themselves time to wander around and see something. But again, they have no idea if that kid's going to college. So I guess that's the weird thing, is it? I mean, sometimes, I don't know. Like, I wonder, like, yeah, on one hand, they're getting inundated with crazy amounts of emails. So they're like, everybody's, and their dog is asking them to come see them play, maybe. Mm. But like I said, the whole problem would get solved if you left, like, it's such a weird system, because if you do leave it up for open tryouts in this world, everybody else great might get snatched up.
Yeah.
So that's the coaches can
understand. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's a difficult problem. And there's a chance of missing a great player on both sides.
Yeah.
No system is perfect. It's just this transference to this. Yeah. I mean, convenience is probably a great way to sum up everything after 1995. Like,
why did you pick those years?
Because the phone came out around
the phone,
the wireless phone.
Oh, wireless.
Yeah,
or mobile phone.
Okay,
because wireless phones were around. But you mean it's like a cellular phone?
Yeah, like a mobile phone.
Okay, what about the microwave? You don't classify that as convenient.
Is that, are microwaves safe to use, you think?
Are you trying to change the subject right now?
Yeah. You know, like, it's kind of, it heats your food up so fast.
I think I think convenience,
you know,
I think convenience started with the wheel,
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. No, I'm just kidding. One day we'll have a sponsor ad there.
Out of Sweel?
Like out of in the middle of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that we can just throw it in there.
Just probably throw our own stuff.
You could just do the blurb where you tell people to click and subscribe or something right now.
Oh, yeah, I'll throw that in.
Yeah.
Actually, we do need people to subscribe, though. Did we mention to people that we're going to start giving away clothing as soon as we hit 1,000 subscribers? Did we say that? We should probably announce that.
Can I give away this shirt right here?
You get Eric's poncho.
Yeah. Yep. I won't wash it.
Ponchos? Poncho. Poncho. Nacho Libre. So, yeah, sorry. You were going to say?
No, it's just like there's no way of stopping of going back with this video.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it's not going to change.
Going back like, yeah, well, I know I'm not saying we're going to change it, but I think that there's something that I think there's a lot of parents out there jumping to the parents' perspective now where they're like, this is such a daunting task. So your kid loves volleyball. And now you're not a parent who loves to get involved in their volleyball that much. Like even if you want, like that's sort of where I'm at too. I was like, oh, really? So now like my kid doesn't know how to make a recruitment video.
And I mean, you just so do now, it. You do it once.
I know, but it's not bad. But you're sitting here, so it's reinforcing this whole like,
yeah,
all right, like, we're gonna put together some clips and yeah, we're gonna kids, showcase you like JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, but you're
do you know JonBenet Ramsey?
No.
Oh, sad. JonBenet Ramsey was like one of those. Like her family, that's a dark story. Anyway, her family put her into this child pageant. Let's leave it at that. You know, okay. This child, you feel like you're entering your kid in like a child pageant. You
yeah.
Know? So anyway, JonBenet Ramsey sadly ended up getting murdered because, you know. Anyway,
oh, wow.
Not a good reference. I'm going to edit all.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Sorry. I think enough time has passed that we can joke.
But you've had it, yeah.
Sorry, that's awful.
How, I won't ask. Anyways. Yeah.
Murdered and unsolved, and they believe that it may have been the family that killed her. But anyway,
that is
nothing to do with wild. Volleyball. That's not what I'm saying.
You know how many of our listeners are going to like actually they're more interested in that story. Yeah, than I this know. Topic.
That's our other. Maybe we should do a podcast about unsolved crimes.
Yeah,
I think that would work. We should.
Yeah,
we can just watch unsolved mysteries and talk about it while we
yeah
on the air.
Because I think it's a great idea.
We don't do a lot of prep work, so
yeah. Otherwise, you would have cut that out if we were doing prep work. Or just not said it.
I mean, I don't know. It was a bad reference and I regret it.
Okay. Well, whatever. It's
but
there.
We don't edit, so.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I forget what I was going to say.
Well, I was talking about how it's like you feel like you're playing this game with right. your kid and putting them in a but horse and pony show.
But you're pretty good at, you were pretty good at prepping your daughters, weren't you? So yeah. Like, even though you have to do this weird thing, you're yes. going to talk about it and understand it and be like, look, we're yeah. just going to.
Do this game.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Play this silly play game.
Because like, what but, about.
I find that it's like engaging in something that you don't believe in. You know what I mean?
I do know what that, and I hate it's a feeling of like fraud. It's like disingenuous.
And losing yeah. your religion, to use oh, an wow. REM reference.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's me in the corner, you know?
Yeah.
That's me in the spotlight. But
yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, your losing daughter my, in the losing spotlight. My religion.
Well,
yeah.
Just trying to stick with the lyrics here.
I love that song.
Well, me too.
Great song.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a song?
Oh,
I was just speaking off the cuff. Yeah, that's a coincidence. That's like my remember my graduation speech.
Yes, I do remember your graduation
speech. Just start quoting song lyrics.
What about the benefit of film? Because film review is actually a great way to like learn to get better. So there is that. So if you can kind of combine that into the whole. You know, highlight making process. At least you get to review your game tape and then you can actually, it is a great way to improve. And I never did it because I hated doing it because I didn't like watching myself. So
yes,
but it is very good and I should do it. And if I continue to play the game and want to get better at it, I really should do it. Especially for technical specific stuff. I find like, the serve 100%. And the spike.
Yes.
And like even the pass. And then more game, like teams do it as like a whole, as a team strategy and strategizing for other teams. But anyways, so there is at least that if you are going to be playing this game. Yeah, it does. If it does kind of rub you the wrong way, well, you have to just choose if you're going to play the game or not. And then if you do, you at least get film review benefit out of it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Like the one thing that like my kid, like I said, we'd record the games and it was awesome for reflection and learning and all that. But like I said, just the packaging of it and knowing that it's contributing to a problem there. That's probably what it is. Like you're furthering this world. You know what I mean? By participating.
I totally know what you mean, man. Yeah.
It's like complaining about taxes and then paying your taxes, you know?
Like yeah. That's why you just don't pay your...
That's why I just, running from the law. That's because I refuse to contribute to, taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. What? No, I'm just kidding. Pay your taxes, everybody.
Yeah.
It pays for schools and hospitals and all sorts of other bad services that we get.
Wars?
What? Wars. Yay. Yikes. We don't want to get political.
So if you're paying your taxes, stop it. Because then we can't pay for wars. And then the problem is solved, right?
Thank God. You know, it's thank God that nobody's listening because we would get, thrown off the air.
I think we're like 70% volleyball and 30%,
politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just everything else.
Everything else.
Just change the name to volleyball, et cetera. Well, volleyball is a metaphor for life. We have talked about that. Volleyball is life, right? Like, you win some, you lose some,
Wow.
I just thought of that right now. Like sometimes you win, right?
Oh, please.
And then other times you don't win, and sometimes you got to get back up on that horse. Not that there's a horse in volleyball, but I digress. So yeah, I think I have to feel that there's a lot of parents out there who just can't stand this world of recruitment videos.
For sure.
And that's why they reach out to these companies. And I not a fault to the companies. I get it. You got to make some money. Yes, you're helping people. But yeah, I guess in some ways you could argue that recruitment videos and the recruitment game helps coaches. Because they maybe will see more players that they never would have had the time or geography to even, I don't know.
Well, and isn't that like the same thing that we say about like social media and the internet and Facebook? Like Facebook, as bad as it has been or can be in the world of increasing comparison, which is not a good thing, a good human habit. Mm-hmm. The good thing is that it's an easy way to communicate and you can find more communities and groups and all these others. So there's always like, you said earlier, convenience always comes with some kind of sacrifice. So convenience is a good thing. I think we evolve in ways of efficiency, which you could also say is convenience, like being bipedal and being faster and having endurance to like stalk animals down. Is that efficient or is that convenient? I don't know. It's just an adaptation. That's what we are today. And then blah, blah, blah. But I just said blah, 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 but
yada, yada.
Yeah. Like the good and the bad and like, it's not going anywhere. So what's the best way to handle it? Like I do like when you mentioned the example, at least when the coach, was going to a tournament because they got a bunch of emails, from parents and they have a few players or a number of players that they want to check out. They're going to this tournament to check it out. I mean, nowadays they could be going to look at 16 players where 10 years ago or 15 years ago they only had an idea of 4 players.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference here is that they have 16 players and hopefully they set enough time to also look at some other teams. I know like I've seen that when the coaches are down recruiting, there's usually a group of like 4 of them. They've got the assistant and then they have a recruiter as well. Most schools have specifically a recruiter position that they're doing that year round. And then you just hope that they're also taking whatever extra time they have to look at any other kids or teams that they've missed. Whereas, 15 years ago, they would go down to look at 4 and then what are they doing the rest of the time? Are they looking at other, they would be looking at other games for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think there's a direct line between when they had tryouts, open tryouts and when they didn't. Like, I don't know about time. Like my time, they did have open tryouts.
And
you could argue, yes, they had to because they couldn't rely on tech. But, a lot of good, I don't think a team ever.
That's part of the reason why they did have open tryouts is because.
They couldn't see everybody.
Yeah, and there was just always that chance because it wasn't that big of a sport, especially on the men's side, right? So it's like, why would you?
It was bigger, felt like back then.
Oh, yeah.
Although, did you see that stat that I saw yesterday that it was like 78% increase in men's volleyball participation in U.S. college last year? Which is the biggest jump.
What does that mean? 78%,
like more. There's more. I guess they turned away more players or more participation on the men's side. It's growing. I think it is growing a little bit. I think I sense it too. Like even like in our world, like I'm seeing more boys coming to the game again. I think we're seeing that concussion thing, the soccer awareness and the football big time awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
Where some of the parents are like, you know what? Volleyball is an aggressive, fun game. People don't think of it that way, but at the highest levels, it really is aggressive and crazy.
Yeah.
That it's a safer sport for a kid, more affordable, right? You get hockey and football are very expensive sports. So I think maybe we're starting to see that increase in the guy side of things. But going back to the point, sorry to take you off topic, but you were saying that the on the guy side, like when I open tryouts back then, were just
everyone held them.
Just because the tech wasn't there, right?
Yeah,
the tech wasn't there. But I just hate the idea that like a university could start the year or a college can start the year without any spots. Like, well, I just think that it's so weird that.
Well, what happens if we continue to go down this road and like every school? Like, there's no longer tryouts at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does this world look like, you know, 20 years from now? It just looks like, because then it's starting to sound like, you know, getting into law school or if you're going to be a doctor or something, it's all about like who you know. And then,
yeah,
these team sports aren't going to be, I mean, we remember, I don't know when all these reports, but was it about Harvard and like all these high ups that were just getting their kids into the schools and then like...
It was like through sports.
It was like celebrities and stuff. Yeah, yeah. What was that?
Yeah, there's a major Netflix documentary on it. The person who got busted was the wife from Full House. You know, the one who played John Stamos' wife. I forget her name.
Huh.
But anyway, she went to jail for it.
She was paired up with this guy.
So
they were great at like smuggling.
So, yeah. So they would get a kid on bogus scholarships into the school just for the sake of getting him into the school. The kid wasn't even an athlete, but they get like a rowing scholarship.
Yeah.
And it ties in with this. In this case, it's like, you know, or volleyball was one of them. Actually, there was volleyball team. I don't want to say the school, but there was a volleyball a lot of volleyball, bogus volleyball scholarships where the player, like the person just wanted to get into that school for the cachet of it. And they didn't have the marks to get in. So this guy would work with the coach to write in bogus and the coaches would get major kickbacks. The parents would pay a crap load of money. And this guy was really good at it. Yeah. There's a whole Netflix documentary. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty cool to watch. Check that out.
Holy moly.
So what do we tell people to watch today so far? We said check. Oh, no, I don't want to say.
Yeah, we already said it. They can just go back.
Yeah, what was it, though, that I asked them to look up? What was the first thing?
Well, the first thing was Pegasus.
Sorry, that's what I was thinking of. I forgot. How could I forget that?
Yeah, geez.
And then we don't want them to look up JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, don't.
Shouldn't have even brought that up again. What am I doing? Anyway. Well, I mean, you could look it up. It's a sad story. It's a sad story about a girl that was. But it's sort of like in this vein, though, of a little bit of like a parent's obsession with their kids' performance and progress and all that stuff, and it ended up having tragic circumstances. So.
I mean, yeah, but your kid can end up like Beckham.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, well, that was interesting, in that documentary.
Yeah, we didn't get to see enough of the father side, but I think the point that they did get across and that David Beckham agrees to is that his dad was pushing him to be a good soccer athlete.
Yeah.
And like, it seemed
obsessive.
Yes. It seemed obsessive. And he said he was able to endure very difficult times when the country hated him for years,
mm-hmm.
partly because his father was so hard on him. So if you're going to compare the hate of a country over multiple years to how your father raised you, the intensity of that childhood has got to be pretty scary.
Yes.
Right? But again, they only spent, I don't know, like 20 minutes on that part.
Yeah, I lived through that. I remember when Beckham got the red card in the World Cup. I was in Colombia at the time, and I remember thinking, wow, that was like, the thought at the time was like, dude.
Like, what kind of ref would do that, man?
It was, yeah, it was a really bad call. Like, you know how so many refs in the World Cup, it's a lot of political things.
I know. That's exactly what I was saying. I'm like, this ref, like,
so by indefinite,
he probably did it because he would have been shot if he didn't.
So in soccer, though, like, you know, if you do make an intentional, in football. If you intentionally kick someone, it's pretty much an automatic red. Like, it has to, you know, the yellows are for accidental stupid plays, but so he intentionally kicked this guy. It wasn't worth it. Like, it was a soft thing and the guy went down.
He didn't even see it.
I know. That's the thing. And there was no replay. And there's, yeah. So, but you know, he did intentionally kick the guy.
Yeah.
Argentina's
so good at that stuff.
Well, the reason why it was so bad was because it was seen as selfish. Because even if you are angry in the moment, in that setting, in that game against that country, you are supposed to keep it in check, right? Because then you're letting your emotions and your own need for revenge overtake the team. I remember that moment. Yeah. Like, he walked off the field. I was like, oh my God, David Beckham's gone. And it's like, you know, 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah. Is that how early it was?
Yeah. So his team had to play 70 minutes without him, 20 minutes in. So. Down a man, right?
And then they went to kicks.
Yeah, and then they lost. And you know, it's funny because I forgot they lost in penalties too. Because the prevailing mindset was that David Beckham just lost the match for them, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, we're off topic. But that's a Netflix documentary. If you haven't watched Beckham, the cool thing about that we talked about was that Eric brought up was like the father was an obsessive soccer dad.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny about those stories is that for every parent that's like that, there's a million parents like that. And we're hearing the documentary about the guy that made it.
No, this is my point. Because like I watched it and I said it was amazing. And then my mom watched it and she thought it was amazing as well. But she said she just absolutely would never and was not capable of being that parent. And she never did that with me or my sister or my brother. Like,
right. Well, you know the difference though between your mom.
Well, I do know the difference is that Beckham's dad was obsessed with soccer. And he loved Man U, right? So
and
he
a
was
a failed soccer athlete himself.
Oh, right. Was he? Oh,
well,
he
everybody.
Was.
Yeah, well, everybody is because, like, you know, he obviously played soccer as a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't any good, so he put all his hopes and dreams on his boy, and he was lucky that he had a boy that had the genetics and the desire to stick with it and didn't quit and crumble like most kids.
Yeah,
that's the story, right?
So was he a failed soccer player? Maybe he was a decent. He just couldn't.
Well, don't forget,
he never made it to Man U.
Yeah,
that's
so
not
all,
like
all,
failed. It's like
well, no. But what I mean is like. So in England, right, everybody's trying to.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like it's like Canada and hockey, right? Like,
so he has
or U.S. and baseball, right? Like everybody plays baseball as far as they can.
So if you can get your kid there, there's a huge pride and
well, that's who is like
status.
That. Like, so it's not even a theory. Like, that's who is like that. The people that are so frustrated with their own lives put it all on their kids. That's why I remember when I sent you that clip of the volleyball dads going crazy. It's going around Facebook. Those volleyball dads and people are promoting it as this cute thing, and I looked at that. And I was like grossed out by it. I was like, these people have nothing going on in their own lives. Yeah. You can tell they're not like, you know, doing a lot on their own because they're living and dying with these points. So like same with Beckham's dad, like he's fine now because his boy's a millionaire and he made it.
Yeah. But other million kids,
if you watched him when Beckham was 10 years old, you'd probably look at that dad and say, what a horrible, crazy parent.
Well, there was footage of it. He's like, yeah, it's not good enough, not good. And you never really praised him.
Yeah.
You know, it was all about, he was telling him constantly how to get better.
Well, I like too, because in the documentary, for people who haven't seen it, it's not a spoiler, but they do show David Beckham has obsessive compulsive disorder. Like, you know,
he has a weird
sense of control, because that's
his what he's going to wear for the next 7 days.
And puts away everything in a very bizarre way. Like his,
yeah, they did point that out.
And they didn't even talk about it much, but they definitely, like,
let
he's an obsessive cleaner.
Yeah.
And he's control freak. And that's sort of indicative. So that's a, like, you know, just as a counselor, like, you know, that's a sign of someone who feels out of control, right? So somebody who does that, you want to control everything in your own little world. And so you micromanage because you feel like you have no control. And that stems from his, I think that's sort of what they're getting at. Like, you know, a father who's very controlling will make a kid feel out of control. So the kids who grow up with controlling parents often do other things to control things. Like they'll start substance abuse or cutting themselves. You know, cutting is a sign of I can't control anything in my world, so I'm going to control this. And so I think David Beckham sort of picked up on that stuff. And
maybe, but and I'm sure soccer was an outlet for him in some way. It had to have been emotionally.
Yeah, yeah, right? And you wonder, like, we don't know if he was playing soccer for the right reasons. Or, you know, was he enjoying it, or was it torture for him? But he was just, like, again, great at it, so it's rewarding. But,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting because, like, I was surprised that Beckham had that issue. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool about the documentary that showed that he has, like, there's definitely some psychological trauma left over from that, you know. And didn't he talk a little bit about anxiety and he has, right? And
yeah,
some mental health stuff that he... That you wouldn't, again, you know, celebrities, we never know anything about them really, but he really has some lingering things associated with his father's upbringing, you know?
Yeah. I don't think
and it's, his dad's just a victim, right? His dad's probably a victim of his father. Like, we just don't go back that far in the history of it. So, like, not to put it all on the dad, because he's just doing the best he can.
And that's the strange thing, is that we're sitting here, you know, from a very shallow point of view, we can idolize Beckham. Right, but now we see this documentary and we see what he went through. It's like, should we really be, you know, worshiping these people? Like, he's lived this crazy life, in childhood, and now him even as an adult. But, like, I mean, he looks, like, happy, but that's relative. Like, so should we, should parents be doing this to their kids? Because this is exactly it. It's only one in a million that are really making it. Now, his father, like, assumedly must have known soccer a little bit better than other parents. Maybe that would have helped, you know, give Beckham somewhat of an edge, because he was, but he for sure was a prodigy. I mean, he was signed by Man U or recruited by them at the age of 13. So, and I feel like can you give his dad credit? I don't know, right? It's like,
it's interesting.
If his dad didn't do what he did, we wouldn't have David Beckham as we know.
Or David Beckham.
I didn't say that. David Beckham. You know,
I don't think we have David Gingham. David,
what did you say that?
Huh? Gingham style. Anyway, no, I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, it's
like Tiger Woods. Like,
yeah, but look at it's funny how, you know, like, Beckham has some issues. Tiger Woods. Anyway,
yeah, they do, but
Tiger Wood singular. Has issues.
I mean, there's just so
many. We all have issues, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not wearing any pants right now.
Yeah.
That's an issue. It's breezy in here. Sorry, this is a kid show. I'm wearing pants.
There's so many people on the planet, though. We're going to have these crazy stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, where we learn, you and I get to learn from it, and everyone else gets to learn from. Mm-hmm.
Or are our stories just as interesting? They're just not involved with celebrity.
Well,
how about that?
I think that, like, is true.
If you sat down with anybody and make a documentary about their life, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah. Like, how did you come to not be wearing pants?
Don't say pants and the C word in the same sentence. It's a kid's show. Anyway,
we'll edit that out.
I'm
looking at the camera. Why am I looking at the camera?
I don't know. And the nice thing is, the camera's not on you.
Okay.
Let me put it on you now. Well, go. Well, I shouldn't say let me put it on you now. Exchange. That's not. Anyway, we're going to have to talk. So crazy. So, like, that's what I mean about the recruitment video is, like, am I contributing to that? And that's the game that I think a lot of parents out there probably feel like, listen, like, you play hard, you train, you exercise, you do the right things, and X is supposed to happen, or you're supposed to be able to get seen. Yes, you want to put yourself out there and just let people see you, but on the other hand, you're, like, contributing to the dog and pony show. And I guarantee you, I mean, hopefully a lot of parents, if you're watching this on YouTube, just let us know in the comments, like, did you feel like withdrawing from this sort of world? Did you throw your hands up and just say, I don't think that's how this is supposed to work, you know? Because that's how I felt. I was like, I don't know. I just felt like I was playing some sort of stupid game. That's nothing to do with the sport, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like extra.
What if we suddenly need to, like, have game tape to make our high school team or something?
Yeah.
Then that's going to suck.
Well, especially if your high school team sucks.
Well, then all these other leagues are just going to open up, like, other non-club volleyball organizations, I would think. Because there's always a balancing of forces, right? Like, I think other leagues will actually start up outside of club, at least in our area.
It's gonna happen.
Well, it's. I mean, we've done it. Like we have. Like, yeah. You know, our we have the youth leagues, but I still think like club is the place to go for like intense.
Yeah.
You know, organized. I mean, it'd be cool if there was a world that was outside that, but it would eventually evolve into that.
It would turn anyway, into the like, same thing anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's just, that's what everybody wants. And we're in our culture, especially we're sort of duped into this whole, you know, the highest level is where you want to be. And, you know, it's sort of that Beckham, like that's what I think is bugging me so much is about the idea is that everybody's being forced to go into this crazy psychotic cycle of like, you got to be the best and you got to be this and you got to boot and you have the best recruitment and the video has got to be a certain way and it's got to be this and it's got to be this and this, all these little rules. Whereas like, it should just be like, hey, there's some great player here. Like, you know, or there's a good chance. Why don't you just show up at this tournament, show up at that tournament, show up at this tournament, see what's there, talk to players. You have any intention of going to post-secondary? Where do you want to go? If someone tickles your fancy, which is a weird expression.
That's a weird expression.
I think it's a wick. That's weird. We don't understand. Tickles your fancy just means, you know, piques your interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but today, because we're so filthy, because of the internet, that'll be the name of my autobiography. Tickles your fancy. So anyway, so that's where I'm. Now the recruitment companies, good, bad. I mean, I guess they're contributing to the issue.
Yeah,
but they're also meeting a need. I understand, like, you know, sometimes it would be tempted to just say, "Hey, here's my kid. Can you make some videos?" And
it's just another industry. I mean, yeah, it's just another industry that is almost, in a way, built on nothing. I mean, built on something that could be like nothing. If we weren't doing these videos, then that wouldn't exist. But I don't know. People are now have a job for it. But now, if it becomes like a necessity. Then that's where I'm feeling this inconvenience and like, really, I have to now fork out this money so you can make this video, so you can do this thing for me, so my kid can go to school.
And maybe they won't make it.
Yeah, maybe they won't. So it's like, it just
here's
seems...
Here's something. What about this?
It seems unnecessary, and it seems to be preying on our guilt. Like, the best products are the ones that can prey on our guilts and our weaknesses and our fears and all this stuff. And that's what this is going to do. It's going to be like, oh, you really, your kid, improve the chances of your kid making this team. We're going to have the best video. You know, like the marketing just writes itself, right? So that sucks.
You know, I noticed something about your kid. You know, I'm standing yeah. there. I think your kid has real potential. I own a recruiting video company. Would you like me to make?
Yeah. Like, we'll get the best angles. They look like they're jumping so high.
No, I just noticed something different about your kid in particular.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they say that.
Yeah.
Too. Now, here's a good question for you, Eric. So let's suppose you decide to go into the recruitment video business, okay? And so let's suppose you're like trying to make a buck. Yeah, you're trying to make a buck and you're like, you know what? I know a lot of parents need recruitment videos. So I'm going to go into that. So now some parent says, someone says, hey, can I have a recruitment video for my kid? They're going, and you know a lot about the recruitment industry because you've been doing it for a few years, whatever. You know the schools, you know the coaches, whatever. And you watch the kid play, and you know instantly that this kid has no chance of making the varsity teams for the schools that the parent is hoping to make. What do you do, Eric?
If you're taking this seriously to be a recruitment video maker person, you're going to make the video.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the opposite.
No.
I thought you were going to say that...
I'm talking about that person, not me.
No, I know. But I thought you were going to say that, you know, well, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of projection going on here, Eric. I said, like, so would you rather tell the parent, listen, here's what I would do from a business point of view. I would say, okay, listen, I know the coaches. I know the schools. I think your child's going to have a really hard time making those schools, but...
I would hope that they would say that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. Right? And that's probably what you would do if you were like, you know, really in the position. You would make the
videos? I wouldn't be in that position.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. But no, but there is something valuable, right? There is something valuable there. If you're an honest recruitment company, you would say, listen, based on my experience, they're going to have a hard time making that. But there are like some tier two, tier three, tier four schools or community colleges that I know are looking for players all the time. And maybe we could target them. And then if the client gets pissed off and doesn't want to hire you, then you're still known as an honest person. It's kind of like a real estate agent who tells you, oh, this house isn't, you know what, let's get out of here. This house isn't right for you.
That's kind of
versus the real estate agent who tries to sell you.
And that's a good perspective given to that parent just off a simple inquiry.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Not that you want to speak for the school, but if you know based on if your history.
Yeah, I agree. That would be.
Reinforces you too as a good, honest person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wonder how many recruitment video people do that. Or do you think maybe the recruitment, maybe you know what they probably do is they probably, they never ask them what schools they're interested in. They just put together the video. They don't care if the player sucks.
Because they make it good. And the parent gets to choose where it goes. They have no idea.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to go. Don't tell me.
Yeah. Because once they find out and then they go, oh, man.
How many videos do you think? How many times do you think a recruitment video company is making a video for the player? Can't even serve. they're like heading to practice to see the kid play because the kid never plays. And
yeah, but is that a lesson that needs to be learned by the parent and the kid? Like, you're going to spend this money and like send it off and like, well, no, they'll never know. they will just say, oh, no, sorry, you didn't make it. But
yeah.
Or don't come out.
Right.
I don't know. You can't save everyone.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just funny though, because like that would be the one with the edited video where like there was like outside all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Different hairstyle. Continuity errors.
That scenario of the honest
recruitment
company. Yeah. Like that, that's one of the benefits of this film thing.
And I'll bet you any money, good recruitment companies out there who have been doing it a while, because there are reputable ones, they probably are good about letting parents know what's realistic and what's not.
Yeah.
That's why they're in business. That's why they're successful. Well,
and what about because you can do things outside of the video. You can like reach out to the coach and like, just like talk to them. So there's also that. And then maybe you do meet, or they actually do get to watch your child at a tournament, because coaches are still doing this. Maybe some of them have stopped or not doing it as frequently, but a lot of them still are. So just advice for parents, like, you can just reach out and communicate that way. But
And we did that. Like, we sent the emails to the coaches we were interested in, or the schools she was interested in, sent a YouTube link to this video that we put up, right? That was like 10 minutes or something like that. And showed nothing but her great plays. But we did it so late because we knew that we were afraid of, like, in our case especially, like, there's nowhere for this coach to come and see them. You know, we sent it out late almost on purpose because the season was over. We literally did it. It was already done. The season was done because we didn't want them to say, hey, we'll come out to Nationals or we'll come to Provincials. We're like,
we won't be there.
RCI has a long story. Funny you should ask.
Yeah.
And that's an example of why club coaches can kill kids' opportunities if they're not normal.
I tried to make a highlight video, eh?
When?
Didn't go so well. When I was just a few years ago, because I was, remember?
Oh, you were considering going to Europe.
Yeah. I was because work sucked, and I was like, if I may as well just go play ball, because this is more.
But you didn't want to play the game either, I remember, right?
Well, that
time,
didn't
you say you were having a hard time thinking about prioritizing it, and you felt stupid doing it?
I felt really stupid doing it. Yeah. I could have, I think there was some other video bank of the league's games that I was able to access if I paid money or something. I'm not sure. I didn't. But there was the games that we did have recorded on YouTube. Maybe I'm lucky in a way who knows? Because my first two season games, three seasons, they're really bad, the film quality.
Right. Oh yeah, of course.
And then
yeah.
The last one was the one where finally got good. But the thing is, the first video, there wasn't even that. That's 2014, 15, and 16. It's not like it was that long ago.
Are you
able
to lean forward, Eric?
Yeah, I am.
Just because on video, can you come closer to the table? Because on video, you look like you're off screen. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, but I'm so relaxed.
That's okay to lean back. That's okay to lean back there. But just your chair, I think, was too far, plus the lean back.
Oh, okay.
Like, see, if I lean back, then it looks a little bit more equal.
No one's watching anyway.
Like a V. When we're like a V.
Oh, on that one, you can't see.
Yeah, on the wide shot. Yeah, no, on this one, you're fine. Yeah, on the main shot, you're fine. Yeah. There. Sorry to interrupt, but your video footage was
never made it. Yeah, and then I absolutely had to have that. There's no, I mean, you have to, nowadays. There's no way you're going overseas without
Yes. Well, that's a little different because, like, I think that's like a smaller pool of people to see. Like, there's very few people who are going to uproot their lives, go overseas.
It's the only way.
And they just got to.
I totally understand.
Yeah, that's different. But in the club world where, like, you know, your universities, I mean, I get it even for out of state, right? Like, if people want to go to faraway schools, that makes sense. But in the, like, same state, same province, like, you know, where most people are going, I think it's pretty. I think it's a problem. I think if coaches are relying more and more on filling their rosters with players that they hear about on video, go see, and then go sign up, you know? You know what I mean?
You know, a lot of our Western coaches used to come to a lot of the tournaments because we have so many schools in Ontario, right?
Yes, yes.
And then there's so few out there. Mm-hmm. There was always a few tournaments of the year where everyone knew that they were going to be at.
Right.
That's true. And then everyone was after those scholarships because the Western provinces were able to actually give much more money.
And they were historically the best schools.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. And they still
are. Still are.
Yeah. They just grow differently out there.
I think it's the wheat.
In Alberta.
And the wind.
Or the cows.
You grow up next to a mountain, I think something happens to your height.
The cows.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely that's what it is. Scientific.
Yeah.
Volleyball, etc.
You know, the other thing about recruitment is the horror stories.
Do you have a funny story?
Well, it didn't happen to me, but I just remember when I was almost at the age of going to post-secondary, my sister was, it was my sister's team, but on the women's side, I think my mom was the director of the club at the time, and she had to deal with quite a few complaints of certain parents just like changing who they are completely from like 16U. To then 17 and 18 year, where they're just like being bullies with like the coaches and like kind of being nasty to the other parents, demanding more play time for their kid because they want their kid to then, because this is what coaches did, or they went out to tournaments to watch. So parents wanted to ensure that their child was going to be on the court for most of the day.
I know.
That
yes.
way the coach sees them. Right.
That's so a problem.
And I know one, girl in particular, her parents were like really after it. And, I mean, it works. Like, bullying, in a way, works. Like, people, because no one's good at defending, so the coach kind of gave in, and then, sure enough, they got more playing time. And they were recruited, and then they did go to the States on a scholarship. But then they ended up coming back, like, exactly a year after, because it just wasn't what they hoped it to be. They were just getting some, like, useless degree, playing at some whatever school, and it wasn't... I don't think the school experience was that good. Like, I don't know the full story, but, like... Mm-hmm. So they go through all of that for like a year and a half in club to get their kid there. Kid doesn't even like it, comes back home, and then goes to another school, doesn't even play volleyball there just to get an actual degree. Because like what is more important? Well, here I am saying what is more important, the volleyball or the school. And I don't really know. And I think most of us lean towards the academics.
Right.
But then from that, what is
historically
more important?
People used to say academics. Today, I think they think it's playing time.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, like, yeah. And I don't even know, because for me, I can't say it's the academics or the volleyball. I think it was a combination of the two. I think it's just the life lesson of attending school, because I have a diploma that I used for 5 years. I'm not even using it anymore because that's not the path that I want to live anymore. Right. So
yeah, it's tricky to say you're not using it anymore. Like, not to be defensive, but.
I don't regret it. It's
everything
you're,
yeah, there's
everything
some
I went
weird
through.
Lessons there. That,
exactly.
And even learning that you don't want to live in that life is would only be learned.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So.
But I know what you mean. Like, even me, like, I'm not teaching anymore. And I sometimes wonder, like, was that a waste? But not really, because it, like, contributes to so much that I do. Even this, right? Like, even this might be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's part of the story, right? It's part of the journey.
Yeah.
There's no good or bad things, really. That's something I'd like to pass on to the listeners. That there's
go ahead.
There's just... if I could interrupt your story with philosophy.
No, it's pretty much done.
I mean, like, so the recruitment nightmare. Well, it ties in with what you're talking about, because of the recruitment nightmare and the waste of time for the kid, and the school wasn't what they thought it would be. And, you know, I think now's a good time to tell everybody, you know, maybe I'll look at the camera for this. No. There are no good or bad things, right? Just judgment. They're just events, right?
Judgment
our lives, ourselves. So, like, the things that happen to you, to me in our lives, or to kids out there who don't get to play volleyball, or recruitment videos that don't work out or whatever. It's, these are just events that happen, right?
Yeah, and good and bad are just terms.
And opinions and thoughts and feelings that we bring to the events, that we're choosing to bring to the events. Mm. It's really interesting when you start to separate the actual events. If you're ever getting like pissed off about like this process or anything in your life, really, it's really handy to make a list of what actually transpired, like a list of things that happened without the feelings, and then just go like, oh, okay, yeah, they're just things that happened. Mm-hmm. It doesn't like, you know, nothing needs to freak
out. And then you can figure out where you inserted the emotion.
Yeah, it's very obvious, because then you're just like, oh, and also the fear, yeah, the fear of the future. Like, you know, the fears that we have of things that haven't happened yet. And that's the other big one, right? People start worrying about what's going to happen if I do this, or if this happens, if that happens. So just start listing what's actually happened. And then you realize, oh, but none of the things I'm worried about are actually on this list.
So it's, well, and cool. If you have a legitimate fear, then just act on it. Because, I mean, the fear is probably giving you a signal. Like if you're worried that the Titanic is going to sink, then maybe... You know, tell the captain to not drive into the iceberg. I just said driver. So. Yeah. You know what I mean? But legitimate fears. Like, there are legitimate fears. And then you have that awareness. So then do the preparation to prevent that from happening. Like,
right. Yes. If you're fearful of a future consequence. But what I'm talking about are those irrational fears. Right, which most fears, we worry about things before they happen. Right. Yeah. I love that line from like To Kill a Mockingbird. You know, that Atticus says to his kids, if you're ready to kill a mockingbird, it's not time to worry yet. That's a great line because, you know, I often say that to my kids growing up too, like, should we worry now? Is now the time to worry? And they're like, oh, no, I guess nothing's happening.
Yeah. Really.
You know, like I said, the cops don't even know that what happened. So
why, yeah, exactly.
Just cool it, kid.
Yeah. No, I do like that though, because it's, there's no need to dwell in it when you can't even act on it, or if it's not even
certain. It hasn't even happened.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, so much of the human brain worries about, like, you know, and this ties in with the recruitment too, because I think a lot of it's rooted in like the coach is afraid that they'll miss out on the great player. The parent's afraid that the kid, kind of like what, you know, early signings with club, the parent is afraid that their kid won't make a spot at the school they want. So all this fear just brings people into weird set of crazy actions of like, I'm gonna make this video, I'm gonna pay this company, I'm just gonna go through all these videos and pick these players before, because I can't wait to, like, as a coach, mm-hmm, I can't wait to show up at tournaments later, I gotta get my roster filled before the year starts. And it's like, man, again, it's all rooted in fear of, you know, and fear of the other school getting all the players before you do, right? Mm-hmm. We put ourselves in this weird competitive loop that I guess is inevitable with technology, that you don't want to be the coach standing there missing out on the player because someone, you know, sent you a video, but that kid, you didn't get back to them, or you were too busy looking at other kids or saving a spot for tryouts, and now you've lost the best player that, you know? So it's a weird, weird fear thing that's underlying all of it, right? And if people just chilled a bit, mm-hmm, and people just sort of went with it, I think they would probably find better results. I mean, we find this, right? Like, people who take the easy, convenient route, like we talk about on everything we in the show,
yeah,
it's often not the best route. Whereas the coach that slugs through the hard stuff does the less less convenient stuff. Like, I can tell you right now, the coaches that we know post-secondary who just sit there and look at the videos, and that's how they decide their teams. And those people are generally lazy, unsuccessful coaches in the grand scheme of things. And I can tell you right now, the coaches that go the extra mile and go out and probably find some of those diamonds in the roughs and make sure they leave empty. Well, I just told you, right? Like, the one of the best coaches, yes, certain positions were filled, but he still had open tryouts.
Yeah.
And he still contacted and said, listen, you come back next year. Like, you know what I mean? There's still.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the coach is just sitting there in his in their office watching videos. If that's how they do their recruitment, then how do they do their strategizing?
Yes.
How do they do their coaching?
How we do anything is how we do everything.
Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah. So I just hope coaches listening to this understand. Well, I mean, I guess for the club coaches listening to this, I mean, one thing you can understand is, like you sort of brought up, how you conduct your team, like, you know, in the final year of their club season really matters, and how you conduct yourself with those players, And, you know, understanding that there might be some parents who are looking for, you know, they have a coach coming and,
yeah.
And that's pretty, like, I've heard some coaches don't care about that stuff. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you care about that? Like, you know what I mean? Because then you're like putting your own, you're putting your record ahead of the kid's future. I don't know. I think that's weird.
Yeah.
Get the kid in.
Yeah. You
know, get the kid in the set. Like, it, and so there are some coaches, players that are really high level, by the way, that sometimes coaches don't care and they're going to bench them or something because... Yeah, well, we've seen that. We've seen like coaches put their own needs ahead of the teams
yeah.
and the players, and they'll take the loss in the name of getting back at the kid that pissed them off. What was it? I made a post. I made a comment. There was a post this week where a coach. Oh yeah, yeah. So some parent posted that the club coach is the local high school coach, and because a bunch of kids didn't play high school because the high school team they found they play worst in the high school environment when they went to the club team. That club. Coach, same coach, ended up picking all the kids from the high school team ahead of the better club players to be vindictive. And I was like, well, that's the way, that's what, that's what loser coaches do. Because you hurt their feelings, so they're going to hurt your kids back.
Yeah.
And they don't care if it's worse volleyball. They don't care if it's bad for the team, bad for the other players. They're just going to, they're going to let their feelings get in the way.
Of course. Like, yeah, we can't, you can't even be mad at the coach because it's just like predictable.
Well, you can be I know what you're saying. Yeah, like you can be mad at the coach, but you have to understand that that's the way people are. Sadly, you know, we talked about before the show. There's crazy, stupid people in the world, so there's gonna be crazy, stupid things. It's hard to accept though when it's your kid missing out on club season because the coach is upset that they didn't play high school.
This is the issue though. That, like, we think we're in control, like rationally, we can sit here and talk about emotions and blah blah blah. But then when the emotion comes around. We're not in control anymore. Like, I mean, unless you like practice it or practice that, like, you know, the awareness of sensing when you're being overwhelmed by an emotion. Cause you do like when things are good or bad, you do have some capacity, again, depending on how much you practice it, to decide how much of that emotion you want to let take hold of you. Right. So, but like that's why that's not surprising at all. Like the vindictive coach is just going to be, because like I'm sure there are other coaches in that situation that are, or they won't even be as like hurt by it. They'll, the kids won't do the high school and then they'll see them at club and like they won't even care why the kids chose that one and then they didn't choose high school and they're choosing this one. They'll just, they'll pick the better players. But if that, it's, if that coach is, that's all one of their big things of their life is the coaching of the volleyball, then it's their Olympics and they're gonna do whatever they want with it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a confident coach versus an insecure coach, right? An insecure coach will take that to be like a real slight to them, whereas a confident coach will be like, okay, you know,
Like maybe poke fun at them a little bit, but still, at the end of the day, you have to run. If you're running a team here, it's, you know,
the volleyball comes first.
Yeah, take the good, the not the most skilled, but like the players who want it the most and who are most into it and whatever. But
don't take things so personally, right? Yeah, it's confidence versus insecurity, and you know the coaches too can take a page out of what you were talking about, like that pause between the event, the reaction happens in between, and then the follow up event, like. Pause before that second consequence before you lash out. Because another thing that's cool to think about is, like, you know, whether it's, you know, reacting to recruitment world, right? Like, you know, that whole idea that it's more work sometimes to lose your poop. Like, you know, if you lose yourself and like you talk about this a lot too, like where you regret the blow up or the whatever, right? It's kind of cool, like if you're a person who goes through like an angry, if you're a type of person who lashes out and regrets it later on, it's kind of cool to understand how much time you're wasting by not taking a pause, you know, because you waste the fixing of the lash out,
right,
becomes far more energy and time wasted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now you're like, oh, I can't email that person, or I can't, oh, I'm gonna see that person I blew up at. Like, buddy. The energy that is required to repair these things. So just start thinking about that. Like, if nothing else gets you to stop overreacting, and, you know, this is something we all work on, I think, then just think about the time and energy you're going to waste to fix it or deal with it or avoid the other person or whatever.
Or the time you waste by rushing and cutting corners. Because let me tell you, like, in the medical world fixing CTs, I made a few mistakes where I was like, oh, I can just like kind of skip some steps.
This is terrifying for all the medical patients. No,
I had to fix it. But like, yeah, I think this one time I had to swap out like a X-ray tube cooler. And then I thought I understood the way this thing was put in, but then I took off one gasket and it was the wrong one. And basically
you killed several people.
No. Just oil went everywhere, all over me. And I'm already doing like a late night job. So it's like 8 PM and this machine is now down and now I have to clean up all this oil. Well, luckily I had a replacement unit there, but it's because I didn't go through and do the proper prep.
right.
We're hearing, I should be telling these stories, but whatever.
That's okay. You're gone.
Yeah. From there. Yeah. It was actually, it's hilarious, but it like, I will, and I never, ever, not that I was like a big corner cutter. The thing is, I just thought I understood it. Whereas instead of just confirming I would have realized, no, that's the wrong one. And then anyways.
Right. Yeah. Being thorough.
Yeah.
People aren't thorough because they think that it's going to waste their time, but it's actually going to save your time.
Yeah.
And same with a reaction. So even overreactions, it's like if you think that you're, venting, but really what you're doing is causing yourself more cleanup later with that person.
Yeah.
Apologies. I shouldn't have. You know, that whole awkwardness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And things will never be the same, right? Like if you let everything out, it's really hard to put that back.
If you just pause and try to imagine what this will be like tomorrow or in 24 hours, it'll be insignificant.
Yes.
And then it's like, do I need to say anything? Probably not.
Yeah. And is it going to change anything? And am I talking about really permanent or lasting? Considering we're all going to be dead. Sorry, folks. Took a little downer there.
Oh, I almost made a bad joke. In reference to an earlier joke, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Eric's learning about look at this. If nothing else than today, we learned that it's anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, today, I think we've wrapped this up. I think we've talked about it. So this conclusion is, I guess we have to play this recruitment game.
Mm-hmm. We have to play a whole bunch of games.
Or do we want to participate in a...
We have to wear pants. That's a game we have to play.
We can wear shorts. Short shorts. Very short.
We have to wear something. Okay. It's a game we must all play.
Yes. Is it legal to wear saran wrap shorts? Depends on how hot it is. I think there's something on the books about that. If it's very hot, then no.
Yeah.
So... If you're, I think that so it is a game. It is a hoop that you must jump through if you want to get into that hoop jumping world. Now, here's something though that I would like to add to this. The reason why, when my daughter is not playing varsity volleyball this year, she's still playing high level volleyball as often as possible because she wants to go back. She wants to make it in second year. She thinks she has a good chance. We were so okay with not playing varsity ball this year because it's become this hoop jumping world. It makes it a lot easier to take that we're not in that world because of what it's become.
You mean like even if she was on the team, there's more hoops once you're on it?
It's just if that's the gateway into the world,
then
obviously the world is filled with more. How we do everything. And like so other things like so she knows players far worse than her who played the game and are sitting on a varsity team this year. Far worse than her as an athlete and in terms of attitude. And so like she's like, I can't go watch games because I'm going to see these kids in the stands. I'm going to see these kids on the court that I know are worse players than me and worse people than me.
Yeah. Right?
And, they went to a bad school. They sent in the tricky recruitment videos. Who knows how they made... I don't know how they made these teams because everybody knows about these players, about their toxic sort of... attitude and demeanor is really, really brutal, right? Who they are as people and as players, like mediocre players with really bad attitudes.
What's that coach thing? Even if you're not playing them, you don't even want them part of your practice squad, though.
Yeah. So like, I think I know why they're there, but it's a whole other weird thing, Yeah. Some of these coaches are kind of non. But if you look at the roster, I mean, that's why that school struggles because I think that coach is picking people for different reasons.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So like that helps you cope too, right? Like that, it was very weird that both of us were okay with her not being on this team. Cause we're like, it's become this crazy world. You know, I think that's where a lot of people sort of check out too. Like at the end of club, a lot of people are grateful to get out of that world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, varsity is better, I think, because the quality of coaching is higher. Mm-hmm. But there's this weird game that you have to play to get in there now that I think is making people okay with not going to the next level. And that's the problem, I think, in volleyball today, is there's a huge chunk of players that are very good, who even love the game, who aren't playing post-secondary. And who's serving them? Mm-hmm. Remember, we talked about that. Like, there needs to be something there for those athletes. But it's hard.
It's us. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. Sort of, I guess.
Yeah.
You mean
in a very, very small way.
Like,
yeah.
Like the leagues and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Community leagues.
I'm coaching.
You're coaching. Yeah, you're coaching. But these players don't even need the coaching, really. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of that
yeah, setting. Yeah.
These are high-level players that are sitting there kind of going to waste because of the lack of open tries. And I think the other...
I know what you mean, yeah.
So that's the conclusion on the parent side. Like, you know, you can decide and you'll probably be at peace if your kid doesn't make it because, you know, you probably weren't big on the hoop jumping anyway.
It is super sad to see because, like, I mean, me, like, now at 36, I had no idea athletics would be this
important.
You know, yeah, like, ooh. It's a really big part of my life, so
keeps us living.
Yeah.
Really, like look at me, right? Like, I'm training now.
Yeah.
To play.
It's not. Yeah, exactly. It's not just the playing of volleyball. It's everything around it, like just staying healthy and staying active and
something to live for.
Yeah, and then all the lessons from it. Just gonna hug your volleyball at night, and cry to it.
These episodes aren't doing it for me. No, I can't die. I got an episode to do.
You know, but like,
it contributes to so much wellness and.
But we're like, some people aren't athletes at all. Like, I mean, what percentage of the world population? I don't know, a quarter, a third, or is that just because they haven't had the privilege to play sports?
Yeah, the exposure. Like, yeah. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, earlier today, I was like, imagine if my parents were both musicians, like serious musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably be playing the drums right now.
Yeah. You
know? I'd be a rock star.
You could be. Could have been.
I have a lot of rhythm.
Been.
See that? I'm just making this up.
Yeah, wow. That's really fantastic. Sometimes I wish Meech was back here.
Well, he's not here, okay, buddy? Anyways.
Turn the lights out. He'll be there.
Turn the lights out in my pants. Anyway,
yeah.
So anyway. But no, yeah, so they're not exposed to sports. But that's the thing. Then they have their, you know, they have the next season of Survivor to look forward to. No, but seriously, right? Like, that's sort of where the movie and the entertainment industry and social media come in. And that's what sustains people, right?
Do you think that's part of the obsession with, like, superhero movies and all that? Because they're super strong.
100%.
Like, yeah, I can be strong through them and the video games.
Well, look at who the fan base is. Sorry, I love superhero movies too, but not
really?
Like...
Really? I don't like superhero movies.
Well, I mean, I used to. The only one I like are Batman movies.
The Batman ones are good.
The Batman ones are the only ones, right? Isn't that interesting?
The Joker. I think
like the Batman ones tend to be.
Guardians of the Galaxy was funny. I enjoyed it.
Yes, but even then, like, even if you like superhero movies, that's okay. But I'm talking about the crazy superhero fans, like the comic book fans.
I can't handle the Avengers stuff.
Well, yeah, like there's like definitely a lot of like living through. Now we just lost all of our audience.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But there's definitely something in that you're tapping into every genre. Like, you're tapping into the character who you want to be, right? Like,
yeah,
you know,
maybe I shouldn't say that I don't like them that much. It's just so many films nowadays.
So fake.
So many of them seem like they're just so predictable.
Yeah,
I'm just like, yeah.
You can tell the ending of a movie today 9 times out of 10. That's why people like the artsy. You know, there's movies that are like different countries, or like, you know,
like a diamond in the rough.
Diamond in the rough.
Jeez.
There you go.
You never know what you're going to get.
There you go. The further you go looking, that's a good place to wrap up. I mean, who knows what you'll
life
find.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I am not a smart man, but I know what love is. I am not a smart man. Anyway, I should go watch that movie again.
It's a good movie.
Forrest Grump.
Hmm.
And we won't go into the adult film industry versions of that.
Wow, he was an amazing ping pong player.
Forrest Rump. What? Anyway, there's no such thing as adult films. Okay, so speaking of films,
you were trying to round up.
Yeah, I was saying like the a wrap up, round out, round up.
Round up. Oh, not Monsanto. Whoops. Wrap up. Monsanto's
wrap. Yeah, I think the coaches hopefully can start to contribute to, you know, organic or maintain or retain an area where they can organically find players. I think old school ways, look for diamonds in the rough. I think you'll be surprised by what's out there. Parents, I guess you're sort of stuck in this world of introducing yourselves and trying to play. Like, I don't know. I think the parents have to keep going with it. But it definitely is a daunting game, and I get it. You know, if parents don't want to do it, I think they shouldn't do it. And if their kids, you know, even their kids might not want to do it if it's an energy drain.
I mean, traditionalism is even kind of coming back in some way. Is that the wrong word? But like simplicity or, you know, the more...
organic, simple, old school living.
That is a
like we bought a record player during COVID.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
No, I mean like
kind of.
We see it in like, you know, nutrition and like fitness and like it doesn't have to be all this crazy complex stuff. Really, just old school wisdom.
I've been telling you that thinking. For years. Every time you start telling me,
well, you're just stats. Older than me, so it's always old wisdom.
No, but I'm just like, you know, my eyes glaze over whenever people talk about
the watch again. I know.
I'm just like, all I have to do is lift heavy stuff and move a lot.
Yeah, well,
eat, and that leads me to eat better, and then I sleep better.
Yeah,
and that.
No, it's okay.
Oh, the watch. Ooh, we don't bring up the watch again. Go back and watch episode so and so, whatever that was. I don't know what episode that was.
I don't know. Anyway. I feel like that was like
the '20s. Eric and I had an argument.
I wasn't able to control my emotions.
Yeah, that's Eric was like really defensive, but Eric had this new watch that was telling him everything to do.
I don't know, it wasn't new.
It was a watch that was telling Eric what to do, and Eric
and you didn't like it.
So every hour like the alarm would go off, and it would give Eric a challenge.
Yeah,
and then Eric would fulfill that challenge and tell me about it. And I was like, Eric, you think it's good of you to listen to your watch 24/7?
Oh my god. And he said, I think I brought up what my resting heart rate was, and then Zuby had a meltdown. He's like, "Oh my god, don't let this thing tell you what your heart rate."
No, the watch told you that you slept well, but you didn't think you slept well, or the watch told you you didn't sleep well, and you thought you slept well.
I was aware of that.
I said, "Who are you gonna believe?"
Didn't you? And you?
Oh, here we go again.
Zach. No, this is.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, let's stop. Anyway, coaches. You know, recruitment.
Our listeners hate
go,
us.
Go digging. Go
this
digging.
Is why we only have 870 subscribers.
870 is pretty good. But well, we have a lot more listeners. We have more listeners on, you know, Spotify.
Oh, that's right. Those are just
and the then, YouTube numbers. Those are just YouTube numbers. So then that's, a you know, traditionally a hard place to go. But an Apple, we're on the Apple, right?
Wow.
And, you know, we're getting a lot of listeners there. The show has hit number one in all volleyball podcasts around the world, Eric.
Yeah,
in certain weeks. United States, in other countries. I think we're like big in like Moldova.
Yeah.
We're like the number one volleyball podcast in Moldova. And they have access to all of them. So, but anyway, so coaches, hopefully you're going to start digging for some organic stuff. Parents, you have to rethink. Do you want to go into this world if this is the game? If you do play the game, that's cool too, but it is a pain in the butt. And yeah. I feel that
both can be done, I would think.
Yeah, hopefully both can be done. But the more we contribute to the video side, then the less the coaches will feel the need. It's kind of interesting. It's like one of those things where like if everybody stopped sending in recruitment videos, then the coaches would be forced to go move, but that's not going to happen because people are never organized enough to do that.
But I think, you know, even if we go down the route of just videos, I think coaches and the community, the player, the parents will have a natural calling to like, hey, maybe we should kind of swing things back the other way, you know, like.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
Because.
I think you're just making stuff up.
No, I'm just optimistic.
Oh, yes. Head in the clouds.
Yeah. I am
rose-colored glasses. You're taller than me. Right. I have my head in the sand, I guess.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, anyway. I'm leaving.
Yeah, so I think we're done, right? I think we're done this week, right? It's a tricky one. I don't know if we can come to a conclusion on this. I think we just talked about some of the problems. And maybe the odd coach out there hears this and says, like, yeah, you know, maybe I will get out to more gyms, you know? And maybe the parents listening are like, maybe I shouldn't.
Just don't care as much.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, kind of just, yeah. I wish more parents would have been like, honestly, like, I don't think that I felt there was something noble in letting my kid just play and not, you know, go crazy about the recruitment idea.
It just felt right in some way.
It just felt like, you know, if you're good, you get noticed. And if you're not good, you don't. But in this day and age, it's like, even the last player on the red shirts has sent in a recruitment video, and that's why they're there. You know what I mean? It's like there's no spots left for finding the organic player.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one, but I think the central thing, if we could leave this, it has to be a coach thing where you have to understand that there will be players that you don't know about. Remember we had Shane on for a recruitment episode?
Yeah.
And he said that, right? Like back in, he was even a few years ago now, but when he was coaching college, he liked to find some walk-ons, and he'd like to try to find those, go to those tournaments that other coaches weren't at.
There's a good
strategy there, man.
Friends I have whose parents like didn't start the sport until they were found at college. Like the coach saw them playing basketball, intramural basketball. And it's like,
I know stories like that too.
You need to come play volleyball. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's tons of stories. I mean, pro sports is filled with examples. Like Billy Bean in the Oakland days. I know Moneyball gets overblown a lot, but the philosophy was take a bunch of mediocre players that nobody really saw as vital and put them together, and you get some interesting things. And same with, you know, undrafted players that become superstars, right? Like Tom Brady was supposed to be a backup NFL quarterback his whole career, right? And then they saw something in him, and he ended up getting Drew. What's his face? Drew. Who's the guy? Who's the head? Who's the guy who was New England Patriots starting quarterback before Tom Brady? Drew Bledsoe. He was a superstar, NFL Pro Bowl player, quarterback, one of the best in the NFL. And they traded him away, and everybody was like, "What are you trading away Drew Bledsoe?" And they're like, "Trust us, this backup's pretty good." But that was only after nobody knew who Tom Brady was, and then Tom Brady became this legend.
Yeah.
People forgot all about Drew Bledsoe. You know, but that's sort of a coach like Bill Belichick who is like looking for the diamond in the rough. It wasn't a superstar, right? Because if he went the superstar highlight reel version, Drew Bledsoe would have stayed with New England, and we never would have heard of Tom Brady, or he never would have, you know, they would have traded him and he would have went somewhere else and did what he did. So I think coaches have to take that lesson.
That's why Supertramp isn't around anymore.
Well, we're going back to another episode, Eric.
I'm kidding.
Eric's trying to bring up all the fights. Eric has a memory.
It's true.
Like, you know,
back.
Memory's like my wife. You know? She just always brings up.
Yeah. That's... No, but like that, those coaches of the like those eras, that was a thing. Like it was to find those players that no one knows about, right? And then because it wasn't just for the cool story. It's the cool story only comes from finding that player and then winning championships, right?
Yeah. See, I think that's a great point. I think the competitiveness of coaches today, like yes, they all want to get their rosters filled and they don't want to miss out. But if I'm coaching post-secondary today, I would be like. I would be dying to find something like that's the competitive thing that the other coach isn't doing. I know,
right?
That's the athletic side, right? Like your desire to beat the other coaches. Like I'm going to go the extra mile, find extra players. I'm going to leave some spots or recruit.
Isn't that what Goggins is all about? He's just like always doing what his competitors are not doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dave Goggins, if you don't know, he's like a former Marine who like, you know, is like a motivational guy online now. And he's just telling people to do the stuff that nobody else is doing. It's kind of the formula for success in everything.
Yeah.
Right. And
do the thing that your opponent isn't doing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or anybody else.
Yeah.
Like anybody else, like you just do stuff that other people aren't doing. And that's usually where we find success. So coaches, let's get back to the old school digging, get off our butts, get off the computer, get out in the field. See what's out there.
That was a good conclusion.
I think so. I think we could stop it now.
We really pepped him up.
We're probably going to say something stupid and mess it up.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, let's stop trying. We'll wrap that up. That is episode numbers. Do I need to say episode numbers and episodes?
Yeah, you're going to stop soon eventually. Well,
some podcasts, like I listen to good podcasts, and they actually don't even mention the episode numbers.
I think all the ones that we listen to, they don't say it at all.
Yeah. No. Because it's like, what does the person care? What, and maybe, what if we want to change the order one day?
Ah, true.
Yeah. Or like they're listening to them out of order. Right? They
yeah.
don't care if it's episode 46.
It's true.
Yeah. They don't care what year it is. They don't care that it's actually, you know, when we're recording this in 2049.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care that that's the year right now, 2049. What? We just blew up the internet, my friend. We just went viral. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Not that there's a time limit on anything we do here, because it's the internet. We can talk for 4 hours if we want.
Just turn it off.
Yes, okay. I'm going to turn it off now. Where's the off button? See you.
What's the big idea?